On 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m. Dublin.
103.2 Dublin City FM. The Sod Show with Brian and Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Brian. How are you, man?
Oh, not too bad. Thanks to Mick for the music and Jean on the news. It's the typical Friday afternoon here on Dublin City FM. It's the A team they're in.
Yeah, it's good to hear.
Flowers in your hair.
Flowers in your. I was just about to say that. Yeah, really groovy Friday afternoon song when you want to be out at home in the back garden having a glass of wine.
I was talking to San Francisco at 2 a.m. this morning.
Oh yes.
Yes.
How did that go for you?
It went well. It was a Skype call, so it was nice and cheap. Listen, I have to take something up with you. Last week you were wearing Dermot and Dave's T-shirt, and this week it's Clare FM. Are you trying to say something?
Well, in fairness to Dave, 98FM, great show, etc. No, and I got this T-shirt from Con, from Clare FM. But yeah, I would like some Dublin City FM T-shirts, although we did get some a while ago from the very
The Sod Show, yeah.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Official cleaning products from Malone's, that was. A couple of things, Brian, back to gardening matters. I was passing through Ballyball, my own hometown, most people would be aware. And on Saturday, I got two phone calls within a matter of, I'd say, about 3 minutes. And there was a thing called the Honesty Bucket. Have you ever heard of this?
No, go ahead.
There was a selection of rhubarb, freshly picked potatoes and punnets. There was some cabbage plants, various bits and bobs. And next to it was a sign simply saying,
take what you want or something.
Take what you want. There's a bucket there. We've recommended retail price kind of thing, but you know, whatever you think, it's, and if you don't have any money, don't be worrying about it. Give it to me again some other stage.
This is like the till in Tesco where you scan it yourself, only better.
A lot better, yes. But there was something,
and it works.
There was something really eloquent and admirable about it that made me smile. And it became a little
honesty
bit of a
bucket.
An honesty bucket is what it was called. I threw it up on the blog. That's blogged.donneganlandscaping.com. You can get that there.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Is, you know, that thing that the sport geocaching, where you go and find boxes and you take something from the box and you put something back in using GPS machines. It's an outdoor.
Whoa, my head's starting to hurt.
No, it would be right down your laneway, because it's a real outdoor thing, and it's kind of orienteering with GPS.
I like the bookshops who say, give us a book and take a book. I like that kind of cafe bookshop that does that.
Ah.
Speaking of which, actually, I was talking to the good ladies of Fingal Libraries, who I did, pardon me, some speaking with a while ago. And I asked them, would they send me on a list of their top 5 most popular books? So this is what they've given to me. You can catch us, by the way, sorry to sidetrack it ever so mildly, 087-977-1032. That's the text number. You might be interested in sending your thoughts on this. And also on Twitter, you can send us a message via the hashtag SodShow, all one word. But Fingal Library's most popular books were, number one, The Irish Gardener's Handbook, How to Grow Vegetables, Herbs and Fruit by Michael Brennock. Number two is How to Be a Gardener by Alan Titchmarsh. That might surprise a few. Joe's Allotment is in at number three. Planning and Planting a Productive Plot by Joe Swift. He presents on BBC, would have been one of the presenters on the Chelsea Flower Show, just gone. Number four is Grow Your Own Groceries, How to Feed Your Family by Linda Gray. And number five, How to Grow Your Own Food, A Week-by-Week Guide to Wildlife-Friendly Food and Vegetable Gardening, Dirty Nails.
Have you got another list that you could read that we can count down from five and get it? You know,
I do. I have one more list, but the funny thing
about all of it. Go from 5 to 1 this time.
I'll go from 5 to 1. The funny thing about all that, Brian, is every single one of them, apart from Titchmarsh's one, is Grow Your Own.
Okay.
Number 2 is the most popular children's gardening books. Starting in, I have a list of number 6. So going in from 6 to 1, Grow Your Own Tomatoes by Helen Lands. Number 5, Grow Your Own Strawberries by Helen Lands. Number 4, Green Fingers and Muddy Boots, A Year in the Garden for Children and Families by Ivor Santerre. Number 3, Kids in the Garden, Growing Plants for Food and Fun, Elizabeth Mac I have to try and pronounce this one correctly, Corkodale. I could be wrong on that. My apologies. Number two, growing things, Ting Morris Sticky Finger series. And number one, Grow It, Eat It, Darling Kindersley publication. And again, it is entirely grow your own.
And that's Fingal Libraries. They've done the deep dive into the database and found what the most popular borrowed books from the library are.
That's what I asked them, yeah. Now, they did say, there was a, you know, they just, I think it was, I have to say thanks to Siobhan, by the way, for that one. But it give you a gist what's happened in North County Dublin. I must get in touch with the guys from Dublin City. And then also, let's go to South Dublin and see if we can find, I know the lads in the South Dublin libraries, I hope they're listening in, but if we can get it, it would be nice to see if there is any difference, but it was. And you bear in mind, Fingal starts somewhere around about your neck of the woods, which is Baldoyle, Clontarf, mm-hmm. and goes all the way out to Rush. So it's not entirely farming county.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Interesting, though. Interesting to see what came out of it. Speaking of books and authors, coming up later on the show, we have Jane Powers. She is the Irish Times gardening columnist, journalist, correspondent, and accomplished author as well. She'll be coming up and she will be talking to us about not the birds and the bees, but just bees and their role.
Okay. And also on today's programme, we'll be talking about the Rose Festival, which is on this weekend in my neck of the woods, St. Anne's Park, Raheny.
Raheny, just up along the quays, out past East Point Business Park.
Oh, good bit up, yeah. Up past your Clontarf, which isn't in Fingal, but yeah.
They've moved
the lake in St.
Anne's. I was
dropping
Brian home last week and the lake has moved. It used to be on the corner. It's now a little bit further up towards the Raheny end.
It is. We'll get into that in a couple of minutes. But let's go to our interview. Tell us, we're going to do the bees, and it's from an Irish angle, and it's not just the worker bees. Peter is talking with Jane Powers.
Welcome to Jane Powers, the author of The Living Garden, A Place That Works With Nature, and also the author and owner of One Bean Road at WordPress.com. Jane, the last time we spoke was somewhere around about St. Patrick's Day. This week, you're going to be talking to me about not the birds and the bees, but just the bees.
Yeah, the bees, and specifically the bumblebees, for a couple of reasons. One is that it was my birthday last week, and I got a bumblebee identification kit. And also, another reason why I wanted to speak about them was that I've been having various queries about dead bumblebees, which people are seeing around. I just wanted to reassure people that there isn't some awful bumblebee plague. This is just their part of their normal life cycle, or death cycle, I suppose, at this point, that they normally only live about 6 or 8 weeks at this time of the year. So this is the first lot of bumblebees just dying off.
The natural assumption, Jane, would be that bees shouldn't really die until at least the end of summer. Is that correct?
Well, no, they're not. This is absolutely normal. This is the first lot of worker bees, and the first queens are now dying off because they've done their work. They've done the first lot of work. And so the next lot of bees will be the new queens, the males, and the new workers who will be servicing them.
From a bee perspective, I'm hearing and I'm being asked about truckloads of bees being brought off to various parts of the world to pollinate fields. I'm hearing that, you know, if you put bee into a calculator and press square root, you may actually find the end of the world. Is there a lot of claptrap out there, or is there substance within that?
There is substance in all of this. And bees, particularly in America, are in huge crisis. There, they are brought around in enormous big trucks, and they're brought to pollinate crops so that they would maybe start out in California where they're pollinating the almond, and then they are brought somewhere else to pollinate a different crop and somewhere else to pollinate a different crop. And the reason they have to bring the bees around is because you're talking about basically a monoculture of, say, almonds. And because almonds only flower at a certain time at the beginning of the year, there isn't food to support colonies of bees. These are honeybees as opposed to bumblebees. But there isn't food throughout the year to support colonies of honeybees. So therefore, they have to import them to pollinate the almond flowers during the spring, and then the almond flowers turn into fruits, which then bear almonds. And at that point, after they've been pollinated, there's no flowers left around for the bees to feed on. So their hives are stuck back into these huge trucks, and they're brought a little bit further north or a bit further east to pollinate the next thing, which might be peaches or apples or that sort of thing. So they are being trucked around in a rather sort of odd fashion. And this, you know, possibly isn't the best thing for them.
The other thing that's come out, though, is has there been a disease that the bees have got quite recently?
There's a condition which is known as CCD, which is colony collapse disorder. And this is where beehives just mysteriously become empty, and the honey that is just left, the bees just leave the honey, and normally when a hive is emptied for some reason or other by the bees in the colony, normally other bees come along and rob the honey. But in this case, they don't, so it's very mysterious. So it's just like somebody left the house, left all the doors open and all the lights on, and the bees are just gone. And there are lots of theories as to why this is, and I don't know that it's any one particular thing. I think it's probably a combination of a load of different things. But one of the things which I've read about and I think probably has something to do with it is the use of neonicotinoid pesticides. And these are pesticides that are, in theory, supposed to be bee-friendly, but in fact they're not. What they don't necessarily kill bees, but what they do is they upset their internal radars, as it were, so they can't actually find their way back to their hives. And a bee that can't find its way back to its hive means, you know, it's basically a dead bee, and the hive is basically a dead hive, because, you know, they can't bring the nectar back and they can't do all their stuff. So they die out. There's also varroa mite, which is something which we have over here, and that's weakening hives as well. So it's a combination of diseases and fungal diseases and colony collapse disorder or rather colony collapse disorder is a combination of all of these things. And there's an awful lot of talk on the internet about it. Bees are very important, because if we didn't have bees, we wouldn't have fruits such as strawberries or raspberries or almonds or peaches or apples, because they are all pollinated by bees. And a lot of other plants, which you don't think of as being having anything to do with bees, in fact, do. For instance, a lot of seeds that we would use for sowing, say, brassicas, like our cabbages and cauliflowers and things like that, the flowers are pollinated by bees, and then they make seed pods, and it's from those seed pods that we get the seeds to grow our brassicas. So if you don't have bees, you're not going to have any brassicas either, and a whole lot of other crops. So the situation with honeybees in Ireland is not as healthy as it was. I am not sure exactly what all the reasons are, but certainly the wet weathers, bad summers, bad winters, all of that sort of stuff doesn't help. And the use of pesticides doesn't help. Another thing that doesn't help is that with sort of increasing development and industrialization, and with the industrialization of agriculture, you know, habitats are lost. So that is also affecting honeybees and bumblebees as well.
While you're on that subject, though, Jane, between the bumblebee and the honeybee, how many bee species are we talking about?
In Ireland, there's about 101 bee species, and that includes honeybees. There's only one species of honeybee, and bumblebees, and then solitary bees and various other little bees. But since 1980, three of those 101 bee species have become extinct.
Oh.
And a lot of other bee species are endangered at the moment.
From a domestic perspective, is there anything that we can be doing?
The thing about bumblebees or honeybees or any bees is that they need food all the time when they're out. Honeybees usually hibernate during the winter. Bumblebees hibernate, except for some who come out on warmer days. So really, you want to be supplying nectar and pollen all year round. And there are specific groups of plants that are really full of nectar and pollen. And herbs are really, really good, like all those borage and catmint and thyme and rosemary, they're all really good for bees, and hardy geraniums and the onion family are all really good for bees as well. So that's, you know, the ornamental onions that you'd see, you know, those big alliums or little alliums, all kinds of alliums. But also, if you have a vegetable garden and you let your leeks or your onions just go to flower, they'll provide wonderful sustenance for bees. Another thing that's really important for bumblebees especially is clover. So if you have a lawn, you can just maybe raise your blades on your lawnmower a little bit so that the clover can thrive, and that'll be really good for your bumblebees.
You've got a half of the dads of Ireland turning around saying, I've been down to the DIY store, Jane. I've bought the granules. I'm going to scatter them across my lawn. You're telling me to leave clover? That's the right thing to do?
Absolutely, and that's what an awful lot of farmers do as well with their grass. Clover is very, very nutritious, and it is full of nectar, and it's also a nitrogen fixer. So it's putting nitrogen into your soil, so it's good for your soil, dads. You know, they're endangered as a, you know, group of flying insects, and, you know, we really should be doing our best to make our, you know, world a better place for them. If you have a garden, don't be too tidy. Like, bees will nest in long grass, they'll nest under shrubs, they'll nest in old mouse holes, as I was saying. So, you know, if you have a garden and you had some mice and you see a mouse hole, don't block that mouse hole up, you know, leave the mouse hole there, and you might get a little colony of bumblebees, which is kind of nice, I think. I mean, if you have fruit trees, if you can leave an unmown square around each of your fruit trees, and you get, you know, a really sort of sophisticated and pretty look, and you're doing a bit for biodiversity, you know. So yeah, let's not all be too, you know, happy with our mowers. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah,
I think I probably just lost a whole lot of dads today, have I?
I think you've also made a lot of dads quite happy.
But just those dads that maybe think they don't have to mow the grass, if they could just maybe mow some paths through the grass before they go off fishing or whatever it is they want to do. Also, I just wanted to mention there are a couple of websites, www.bumblebee.org, and then an Irish website is pollinators.org. biodiversityireland.ie.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, 087-977-1032 on the text line, and hash Sod Show on Twitter.
Aren't you just a little DJ? 103-2-2-2-2-1-2. Welcome to Mary's 21st. Aren't you? You've got great practice now. Show number 20 we are this week, Brian.
Listen, I don't own a Clare FM Dave and Dermot t-shirt or whatever it is. Dermot and Dave t-shirt. Is it Dermot and Dave or Dave and Dermot?
I don't know. You'd have to ask which is the more dominant.
You should have worn the t-shirt. You're wearing it underneath now, you know.
To the point, Jane just gave you a great excuse to leave your grass grow long.
Okay, so your question to me is?
It's not a question. She just gave you a great excuse. The next time you get into trouble at home, you can say, hey.
18 inches.
Jane Power said, I was allowed to grow clover in my lawn. It's good for the bees and biodiversity.
And going back to the news at the top of the hour, did I catch the bit about the wind generation? Who's behind it? Fianna Gael. Wind, Gael.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Two better news. Have you got anything?
We're going to talk to you about St. Anne's Park Rose Festival 2011.
Yes.
It's set in the 270-acre historic St. Anne's Park with a 6-hectare rose garden in one of the finest places in Europe with 25,000 plants on show. The festival includes a variety of entertainment over 2 days. That's this Saturday and Sunday. And there's the Red Stables Food Market open on both days from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Guided walks of the Rose Garden will take place during the festival. Are you a fan of the festival?
I was there last year. I met the wonderful gentleman of the Fuchsia and Pelargonium Society. If you have, you know, the geraniums that you would have in your hanging basket.
Yes.
Or your window boxes.
Yes.
There is judging that takes place on those. You're smiling, Brian, as if you've just told me a fib. A barefaced lie.
Geranium.
You don't know what they are.
I
you're, I don't believe it. Well, for those who are listening, thank you very much for tuning in. I'm not talking to you now
you
for a
met
couple of minutes.
The fuchsia.
The judges of the fuchsia and pelargonium, pelargonium society, but they do judging on the plants, on the said plants, and it is amazing to see what is, or if there is, or if you can see the difference between what would be considered first, second and third prizes. Phenomenal. But I was there last year, and my daughter, young daughter Ella, who is about 1 year and 3 months now, so she would have been about 3 odd months old, and I was at that stage. Those moms and dads who are listening would be well aware that at 3 months of age you have got that usual 3 hour window where the changing etc etc needs to take place. So I couldn't do the rose tour, but by all accounts I did try and find out after, and I believe the reports that came back where it is well worth it. The Red Stables Cafe, by the way, if you are going in, go upstairs. Their coffee is just gorgeous.
But can I tell you, it is busy over there.
It is busy, but it's well worth it. And the nice thing about the Rose Festival, Brian, which a lot of people haven't noticed and haven't spotted yet, it is free, and it's free to park. It's free to get in, it's free to park, it's free to get in, it's free to park.
And we have to say thank you to Dublin City Council for that, keeping it free.
Well, there are a lot of gigs, Brian, that go... I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody here, but I think there are gigs that take place that cost a few bob, and there are a lot of... there are some naysayers out there who say Ireland, and it's the whole country's broke. And I'm kind of going, hold on a second, pack up the picnic, bring the rug, bring an umbrella, bring the rain gear, bring the wellies, let the kids jump in the puddles, go out. It's a free day. Do the Rose Tour. Possibly never done it before, most people. And the park is looking spectacular at this moment in time as well.
It is indeed. Just some of the things that you can catch down there. On Saturday from 11 till 12:30, storytelling by the library bus. Have you seen the library bus? It goes around all the different areas that don't have a library. It'll be there in St. Anne's Park. 1 to 2 p.m., Music in the Park, Ciolos, Ciultori, Éireann. Ballet Fusion are on from 2 to 3 p.m.
Wow.
And the Hot Club of Dublin are on from 4 to 5 on Saturday. On Sunday, starting at 10 a.m., they have Silly Billy's Children Entertainment, Leisure with Dale Treadwell, and they've got all sorts of things, outdoor climbing and wall and archery, and there's a falconry display, and that's on Saturday and Sunday, and that's at 3 p.m. I saw the falconry display up at the Battle of the Boyne site, and if you can get yourself along, if it's the same guys, well worth watching.
Well, the only thing I'll say to you is Dale Treadwell worked with me when I did the urban living in Dublin City. He was in, the Wolfetone Park is where it was. And Dale does a brilliant display all about bugs and animals and insects, all for kids. Well worth watching. I've never seen so many children in just pure awe. And I think it's partly because of his Aussie-Australian accent.
Okay, we've done St. Anne's Park as our park life feature. We can't encourage you enough to get down this Saturday and Sunday to St. Anne's Park Rose Festival 2011.
I'll be there if you're going along. Do let me know.
I'll be there on Sunday, I think.
I think I'll be going on the Sunday as well, as I did last year. And you'll get Brian. He's at Brian Green with an E at the end. And I'm at Donegan Gardens on the Twitter. Otherwise, just hashtag it Sideshow and let us know that you're going along.
Song of the Week, quickly. You picked it. What is it?
Play it and you can intro it afterwards.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm not afraid to die.
The Sod Show 103.2 Dublin City FM. That is We Are Losers and Sunset Song. Well done and congratulations to them on their recent record deal. The lads, I believe, are from Kildare or is it Dublin? I'm not too sure. Close enough either or.
Pumping music.
Absolutely brilliant. No,
good
well
choice,
done to them.
Good
and
choice.
We're almost at the tail end of this week's show again, Brian.
We are indeed.
Before we hear the fade in the music a little bit too early.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on Twitter, #SodShow, and you can also check out the blog.
That's blog.donaghanlandscaping.com or just search for Sod Show on iTunes. A huge thanks to our guest this week, Miss Jane Powers, the wonderful Jane Powers, as always.
And we'll see you in the Rose Festival, St. Anne's Park, Dublin 5 in Raheny area.
Take care, folks. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.